Good morning. I'm Bill Kladke of the Greater Baltimore Community Housing Resource Board, and I'd like to welcome you to this morning's edition of Living in Baltimore. Our guest today is Mr. Robert Strupp, Esquire, who's Director of Research and Policy for the Community Law Center. And Rob's here this morning to talk to us about the foreclosure crisis, as well as the various things that the Community Law Center is doing to help folks around the area. So it should be an interesting show. Rob.
Good morning.
Thanks for coming. Good morning. Thank you for coming. First of all, for those of our listeners who are unfamiliar, and it's been a while since you've been on, could you tell us a little bit about the Community Law Center?
Well, the Community Law Center is 21 years old, and we provide legal services and technical assistance to grassroots organizations and small businesses throughout Maryland.
Uh-huh.
We are, in fact, Maryland's only legal service organization dedicated solely to neighborhoods. And we have partnerships with community organizations, nonprofit housing developers, urban planners, educators, mm-hmm. and the like throughout the state.
That's great. How long has the center been around?
21 years.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's been a while. Ann Bloomberg was the longtime director, and I know she's moved on.
That's right. She was our founder and director uh-huh. for a long time. Our executive director today is Christine Dunkerton.
Great. And how can somebody find out more about the Law Center?
Well, we have a website. Mm-hmm. It's www.communitylaw.org.
And it's a good one.
Thank you.
Yep.
And our phone number is 410-366-0922. And
correct.
We're in Hamden.
Wonderful. Let's see. You're Director of Research and Policy. What does that involve?
Well, the Director of Research and Policy's primary focus is our projects to combat predatory and deceptive real estate practices.
Mm-hmm.
And I lead the research efforts in real estate transactions throughout Maryland, looking at where greed and deception and fraud have a role and how we can combat that and curtail that and try and maintain a level of fairness in the residential real estate process.
Mm-hmm. What's your background? I know you're an Esquire.
I'm an attorney. I've been licensed to practice law in the District of Columbia and Virginia going back to 1983. And I moved to Baltimore in 2002. And I've been with the Law Center since 2006.
Hmm. So you definitely have been, you've been on all sides of the issue, really.
Well, that's actually right. Yeah. I actually was a title attorney, mm-hmm. and I represented a bank at one time back in the early part of the 2000s. I was actually representing a bank that was doing a lot of mortgage business, and they had brought me in to help them with the mortgage process and selling of mortgage loans on the secondary market. So I'm very familiar with what's happening now, and by comparison, I mean, where we are today is just an implosion of these issues.
Where are we today, especially here in Central Maryland?
Well, unfortunately, first of all, Central Maryland, meaning the Baltimore region, is probably not all that unique to other parts of the state. Mm-hmm. Prince George's County has had a significant increase in foreclosures in the past year or so. So mm-hmm. It is not just a Baltimore issue. It is not just a number of myths. It's not just a subprime loan issue. The problems with foreclosures have infiltrated to folks who have what they're called prime loans and had, you know, good credit and better credit credit scores. Where we are today is somewhat of a mystery because we have a new law in Maryland that went into effect in April. And we haven't quite seen all of the ramifications of the law. The good thing about that, and there were a number of laws that are part of this new process, but it requires additional notice mm-hmm. To be given to homeowners before a lender can foreclose.
And
the borrower has to be at least 90 days in default before the foreclosure can be commenced. So the number of good things have happened.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to track where we are from a data standpoint because Because the new law slowed down the foreclosures in the second quarter of this year, the law went into effect in April, in early April.
So it's not a comparable quarter for comparative
purposes.
That's
right. So it's hard to do that. But we can still see, for example, where foreclosures are happening in terms of neighborhoods and communities and counties. And we know that, you know, foreclosures haven't gone away by any means. And we'll, you know, we'll be looking at the trends as the year goes on. The good thing about it is clearly that there's borrowers have some more time than they had previously. But that being said, I need to take this opportunity, if I may,
please,
to encourage those that are in are either in foreclosure distress or concerned that they may become there soon, not to not to wait. There's a slogan out there that the state of Maryland is using is, if your mortgage is late, don't wait. And that's really excellent advice.
So the first time, so let's underline that. The first time that you're, as soon as you get behind in paying, or if you think you're going to get behind, then get help.
Exactly. Don't wait to get behind.
Try
and get help first. And, you know, there are a number of opportunities to do that. The Maryland has a hotline, and there's a national hotline. It's 1-888-995-HOPE, that's the Help Now program that's been promoted in the media throughout the last year or so. They can direct callers to housing counseling agencies within the community that can help them. You can also call us at the Law Center. And we can try and point you in the right direction if you feel that, you know, you are either in a mortgage distress situation, and particularly if you feel that you may have been the victim of some sort of deception in the transaction itself. And our number, again, is 410-366-0922.
Thank you. Let's talk a little bit about the deception thing and what folks should look for. What would you advise somebody who thinks they might have been deceived? I mean, what should consumers look for in terms of possible problems like that? The first step, if you're about ready to get behind in your mortgage, if you're having a real tough time making it, the time is now to try to do something about it, because help is, as you said, is available. But what would you advise to those folks that would also have, they might not be in trouble, but they're still, you know what I mean? They're kind of in between there.
Well, again, help is increasingly available, but the volume of callers, the volume of folks who need help, and the capacity of both attorneys and housing counselors to help them has definitely been a gap there. That there is a growing effort to bring some practicing attorneys up to speed and to increase the pool of available housing counselors.
Sounds like the state's really stepped up in the last couple months.
The state has stepped up, and you know, we just had finally Congress stepped up to the plate after quite some time of trying to
kudos to Barney Frank.
Kudos, he tried hard, you know, for a long time, and he faced quite a few obstacles. But we have some legislation now that's going to help some people. The forecast of foreclosures nationally over the next year to year and a half is between 2.5 and 3 million foreclosures. The assistance in the bill that was just signed by the president that Congress worked so hard to get together specifically says that it could help about 400,000. It could have the ripple effect of helping more because of some of the other benefits that are in there, such as the first-time homeowner. They call it a credit. Yeah. It's really a loan in a sense. It's a tax credit, but after a certain point, you have to pay it back. So it has some characteristics of a credit, but it also has characteristics of a loan.
But there are some
things in there that could fuel the ability for homeowners who are in distress to be able to sell their houses, and that would help minimize the impact of foreclosures. So there's a number of things in there that could benefit. It's certainly not a 400,000 or 500,000 is a great number. It means those people nationally won't lose their homes, or at least, you know, if they do, they'll get something out of it if it sells. But as you can see, that's representing, you know, somewhere in the vicinity of, you know,
a 15th.
Right. Yeah. You know, maybe, you know, somewhere between 10 and 20%, I was going to say, of the foreclosures that we're looking at. Now, there always were foreclosures. People, you know, people have bankruptcies. They have businesses fail.
The D's. Four D's, right?
And, right. And we have, you know, there's family strife and death and divorce and, you know. So foreclosure is not something new, but certainly the magnitude and the volume of the foreclosures has so impacted our communities in I would say, in an unprecedented fashion.
Yeah, yeah.
People who feel that they have been victimized can contact the Law Center for a referral. Also, you can go onto the Maryland government website for the Department of Labor Licensing and Regulation, DLLR, and there's a link there for what you can do if you think you may be the victim of a scam.
Yeah, kudos to Tom Perez, the secretary of DLLR.
Absolutely, they're doing a great job.
They really are. A lot of praise needs to be given to those folks. We've got a couple minutes left. The scam part of things. How big is that, and what can folks do about that? Contact the Law Center to find out, right?
If you think you may have been, we can certainly try and point you in the right direction.
That means if you were pressured,
if you know you didn't have an opportunity to review documents, and you think that they were just sort of dumped on you at this closing table, and you didn't have an opportunity to examine them, and you find that there's something in there that you didn't understand. If you get a package of documents back that doesn't have your signature on it, or that you never signed something, by all means, you should contact us or the regulators. There's so many different flavors of scamming and deception that goes on. That it's almost impossible in this short period of time to really address all of them. One of them, a particular concern that I have, is that a number of the real estate transactions that we look at use limited liability companies that are formed with the address of the property. And Maryland requires limited liability companies to have brick, as do corporations are required, to have brick and mortar addresses. That is an actual physical place.
Right.
But a number of the investors, a number of the players in the residential transaction process will form these limited liability companies for the houses that they're buying or selling using limited liability companies that use P.O. box addresses. And they kind of masquerade them as real addresses. They'll be using, you know, 1000 Charles Street, Suite 123, which is nothing more than a one of these box facilities.
Right.
And Suite 123 is the box number. And we're aggressively campaigning to bring this to the media and to the legislature's attention for action in the General Assembly in 2009.
Yeah, because if you're just dealing from a P.O. box, it means that you're trying to erase traces, right?
Well, it certainly enables folks to conceal themselves.
Right.
It also defeats the intent of being of regulators and parties who want to litigate against an entity, whether it's a limited liability company or a limited partnership or a corporation that's required to register under state law. It thwarts the ability to find them and to review the documents that they might have on file. So we feel that, you know, this abuse needs to be rectified, and we've actually been talking to the State Department of Assessments and Taxation on how we might be able to facilitate that.
That's great. Thank you. You folks are on it. We're about out of time, Rob. Could you give us that contact information one more time, please, for the Law Center?
Community Law Center, 410-366-0922, and we're at 3355 Keswick Road in Hamden in Baltimore City, and we're on Suite 200.
And www.communitylaw.org.
Yes, that's
great.
Right. Thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. Best of luck, and keep us informed. Come back in a couple months to give us an update.
Thank you. I'd be delighted.
Yeah, man. And it's an issue that touches us all, and there's nobody immune in this society or other societies from the economic impact of all this, too. So you're doing good for a lot of folks.
Thank you. A lot of good.
Anyway, that's all we have time for today on Living in Baltimore. I want to thank our guest, Mr. Robert Strupp, Esquire, Director of Research and Policy for the Community Law Center. Thank you, Rob.
Thank you.
For Living in Baltimore, I want to thank you for tuning in. Let's try to be a good neighbor out there in all of our neighborhoods, and we'll see you next time.